From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Hallelujah. So Psalm 23, I want to read from verse number 1. Every paying attention? All right. Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." Is that how we say it? With oil. With oil. "My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Somebody said amen. And this is a very famous and a beautiful psalm. But you know, this time, this season, I feel led to take you through it because it really means a lot. I mean, every provision, every need that a Christian may have is taken care of in this particular psalm. And so we looked at the fact that whenever the Lord is your shepherd, then everything else from verse 1, after this statement, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," everything else is because the Lord is your shepherd. Did we understand that point? So as long as the Lord is your shepherd, that is when you shall not want. If the Lord is not your shepherd, then you shall want. It's very simple to understand. If the Lord is my shepherd, then I shall not want. If the Lord is not my shepherd, then I shall want. Hallelujah. If my father is Mr. Gaffos, then I shall not want. Because we all know Gaffos. Gaffson's Industries Limited. I mean, they are the manufacturers of almost every building material in this our country, beautiful Guyana here. So if Mr. Gaffos or Mr. Tosi Pesad, let's say, if Bishop Collins is your shepherd, then you shall also not want, isn't it? We can only talk about these business people also. But, I mean, just to, you know, give you a practical, something that you can probably relate with, because you may probably ask yourself, so what does Bishop has? It's quite spiritual. So I don't want to bore those who are not spiritual. And let's say we all know Gaffos, we all know Tosi Pesad, we know all those big names and those people who command the monies around. And therefore, if one of them is your father, what we call want, oh, I beg you, you shall not want. It's not now that somebody is coming with a black bag of ration to come and give you because of COVID-19. You shall not want. You are the one that somebody rather is actually looking to you to see whether if you can pass, you know, give a little something, a little donation. You know, and David is saying here that there is someone who is bigger than all the businessmen in your country. There's someone who is greater than all the company owners in your country. There's someone who owns everything and is over everything. And that person, David said, is his shepherd. And because he is his shepherd, no matter the lockdown, no matter whatever is going on in this world, no matter the darkness, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." I mean, if we really will sit down and analyze, and that's why it has become my passion to take you through this psalm during this season. Because if you and I really believe and trust in the Lord God, our Father and our Savior, as our shepherd, that all these wonderful provisions, these wonderful things that David experienced and David expected to experience will also be our portion. Can I have an amen? Wonderful. So he says that, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He makes me lie down. He doesn't make me pass through green pastures. There's a difference between passing through green pastures and lying down in green pastures. Because when you're passing through, it's like, Charlie, eat quickly and let's go. That's when you see that you grab as much as you can. It's like a thief that enters into a shop, and then it's like you have about 5 minutes to, you know, grab all that you can and just leave the place. No. This one, you enter into the prosperity. You enter into the good things, and you are there. You see, when God is your shepherd, you can have and you don't even know what to do with it. That's why God told Abraham that I will bless you and that you will be a blessing. Because when I bless you, you have so much around you. You have so much to have that you will have to end up having to give some away. That is your story in Jesus' name. Yes. He makes me lie down, not pass through green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Now, we're looking at, he leadeth me. Oh, we finished looking at, he leadeth me beside the still waters, isn't it? He restoreth my soul. I think I mentioned the fact that your soul is something that is irreparable in a human sense. You can fix your microphone. You can fix your amplifier. I have a gentleman here. You know, he fixes everything. He can fix phone. He can fix computer. Even you, he can fix you. You know, he fixes so many things. And once he gets his tools, you know, he normally works with a small toolbox. He has everything inside. He can fix you from the crown of head to the soles of your feet. Hallelujah. You know, but there is something about a human being that is not very easy to fix. And that is what we call the soul. Your mind, your will, your emotions, they are things that you cannot easily fix. You can't go to the supermarket. You can't go to the garage. You can't go to the mechanic. You can't go to the doctor for your soul, your will, your mind, and your emotions to be restored. You don't get it anywhere. It is the God of heaven. It is the God of the earth. Is the Alpha and the Omega, is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's the one who is able to fix your mind, to fix your soul, to fix your will, and to fix your emotions. Hallelujah. He's the only one who can do such things. And that's what David said, that he is my shepherd. And he goes on to say, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that's why I think last week we left off. We touched a bit of it and we left off there. And we're saying that he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So last week I tried to just break that second part of Psalm 23, the third verse to you in three sections. He leadeth me. That's number one. In the paths of righteousness. That's number two. And number three is for his name's sake. What it means is that this whole verse, this, the second part of Psalm 23 and verse 3, he leadeth me, it is more of what God takes you through. It is what God takes you through. It is God who comes and takes the leadership of your life when you give yourself to him. So the moment you give your life to Christ, say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me, isn't it? Is it Ida's song? Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me, isn't it? Now, when you give yourself to your life to Jesus Christ and you become born again and Jesus become your Lord, then now, and this is where many Christians get lost, then now, the Lord now becomes your leader. So, you may go through things that you may easily not understand what you're going through. But it is when you understand that it is, I am being led. That's what actually makes you feel comfortable. The reason why many people are not very happy in the Christian life and are not able to handle certain things is because they forget that they are being led. If you are being led and you trust the person who is leading you, It doesn't matter where you're going. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. I mean, if you sit in a minibus, or you sit in a car, you sit in a taxi, and you say you are going to Freeman Street, Isla Penitence. I mean, once you sit in the car and you know that the driver is going to take you to Isla Penitence, you actually relax. You are not going to say, why are you taking me the road? Why are you going on Mandela? Why are you taking... If you do that, the taxi driver will actually... He will say, you know what? I think you should just probably call another car. Because it's like you are telling me, a taxi driver, where to drive. And this is not a taxi that charges you per kilometer or the amount of miles he makes on his speedometer. You know, the speedometer, isn't it? Is that how you call it? That's what... No. The gauge, that's not what it is. He just charges you a particular amount and he takes you to where you are going. And so, if you're going to do that, it's going to be some way. He's the one who's driving. Even a minibus. If you sit in a minibus, you pick the bus from Middle Road or Back Road. And you say you are going to Stabroek. And the guy begins to go through. Sometimes you see how the minibuses work. Somebody will take them in front of their house to pick up a bag. To take to somebody's corner here, pick up a bucket. And they say, excuse me for something. And then, just give me a minute. And they take you through all kinds of places before you go to Stabroek. Few people complain, if anybody at all, in the bus. Especially if you are late, then maybe you probably want to say something. But these are things that goes on. You see, so in this particular second part of this verse, it is the Lord taking control of your life. And he's taking control of your life because human beings are very habitual. Human beings are notorious habitual beings. Just like sheep. Sheep are notorious. They are notorious in the area of habit. If sheep go this way out of the pen, if they leave the pen and they are going out, they go this way, they will use that path, that track all the time. And that is how our lives are. We are so habitual to the extent that if it's doing something, you do the same thing all the time. And that is where God comes in and says, you know what, you can't go this way. Because the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, the Bible says that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof is the end thereof are the ways of death. Do you get it? So you have to understand at this particular moment that there is somebody who is taking over your leading. And so that is why sometimes you realize that we go through certain things that we don't like. Because if you were going to lead yourself, you would have gone certain places and certain ways that you prefer. And so whenever you have something to say about how your life is going, it is most of the time because he's the one leading you. That's why. Because if you were to drive the car from Freeman Street to Sophia, you can take several routes. You either go Red Range or you go you catch Cemetery Road, or you can go around East. Because you are driving your car, you can even say, you know what, man, let me just take a little walk through Middle Road. Let me go to our boy stand there and cross the Tabroek. You can do whatever you want to do. But when somebody else takes the wheel, Jesus takes the wheel. When you are singing that song, you should be careful. When Jesus takes the wheel, take it from my hands. Hey, you should be careful. Then you have to go and take the back seat and just slouch and relax and say, Jesus, take the wheel. Don't say, Jesus, take the wheel, and then your eyes are open, you're wondering, hey, you're driving too fast. You could slow down. You don't see the red light? Why are you taking this corner? What? No. You can't have Jesus taking the wheel and have those things. And that is the main thing I want you to understand as we go along. He leadeth me. He leads me. He leads me. Why does he lead me? Because the paths that I'm on, the paths that I will choose, are not the right paths. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him so he will direct your paths. He will direct your paths. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The direction in this dark world comes from God, your shepherd. And if you can't have God as your shepherd, you are going to walk and hit your leg. You're going to hit yourself. You hit this. And that's what happens to many people. They walk in this world and they hit them. They come against against things. They come against obstacles. They come against trees. They get themselves involved in accidents. Because there's nobody who knows around who is leading them. Yeah. So next time you hear Jesus take the wheel, please turn it off. I say, Jesus, I'm not ready for you to take no wheel. Sit in the front seat and as we are going, you help me drive or something. Don't take the wheel. Because when Jesus takes the wheel, it is a lot of surrender. All to Jesus, I surrender all. Not some. All. And if you're not comfortable for Jesus to drive you and you sitting on the back seat, then you better don't take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that is how many people don't enjoy the Christian life. They say, Jesus, you are my Savior, but they are still holding the wheel. Yeah. But David said, he is the one that leads me in the right paths. In the right paths. In the right paths. Because what happens is that if you allow sheep to just take their own way, they will die in the path that they are on. I tell you. Yes. If God was to leave some of you in the ways, in your ways, if God was going to leave you in the things you like to do, the things that I like to do, the things that we like to do, if God was just going to watch us and just allow us to go, you see, it is a very pathetic state to be in when God just watches you and say, let you do what you want. Bible says, for all of us are like sheep. And what has happened to us? We have gone astray. When you leave sheep, the first thing they do is that they go astray. So when God says, you know what? Leave him. Leave her. It means that you are lost. You are lost. Are you listening to me this morning? So, he leads us in the right path. Now, if you take sheep, a shepherd who leads sheep, like I was saying earlier, they can use the same path. That same path can turn from a grassy path to a very hard soil. What happens is that whatever they used to eat on that track, it comes to a point where they don't have anything more to eat. Because they'll go to the same place. And after a while, if you go to the same place, use the same place, the place gets hard. If you're allowed to do something by yourself, if you, for example, let me just say for the lack of a better example, let's say God leaves you to what? Do what? Let's say smoke, for example. You smoke out until you can't stop smoking anymore. You get hard. The place where you are walking on gets hard. You become so used to the path, you get so hard. Yes, that's why many of us, when we become Christians, we can't even stop certain things. It's difficult for us to stop certain things. That's why when they put these COVID-19 patients in quarantine, that's why right there they will also be sexing themselves. Because it's actually, you have COVID, I have COVID. It's COVID and COVID, COVIDina or COVID, is it something? We are doing something. Because the habit is there. The path they have been going on, that road they've been using it. Now that they have their positive COVID-19 coronavirus, I mean, who tells me that I can't do the things that I normally do? You say, I'm in quarantine? Take me to quarantine river. Quarantine rather. What do you mean quarantine? Ice, do me thing one time. I got for do me thing. Yeah, no harm. All we get corona. We enjoying ourselves. Positive. It even becomes more powerful. Double positive. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the reason why Jesus comes to take the wheel is because of behavior. Because if he leaves us, we will just be back in our behaviors, in the pattern, the way we live our lives. Look at you. There will be Sunday morning coming to church. For many people, Sunday morning church wasn't part of your life. Tuesday evening service, it wasn't part of your life. I mean, it's amazing. If you see, that is why even in this pandemic, this era of the pandemic, many people are not going to church. Because Because the habit has not changed. I mean, one of our church ladies called me today and you say, "Oh, Bishop, no, I miss hearing your voice. I mean, I see you on the internet all around, but I wanted to hear your voice. I miss the fellowship and all of that." And this is somebody whose habit has actually changed. Who actually has been led for a few years to the extent that now that we don't have that thing that we normally do, that path that we go on, the person, I mean, misses that kind of habit. A good habit has replaced something that was bad and rebellious. And so he has to lead you so that he can take you on the right path. I see God taking you on the right path in Jesus' name. Yeah. Now, when you also look at this, you also think about a shepherd who is very intelligent. Yeah. A shepherd who knows what is good for the sheep and what is right. Because you can't take control of somebody's life when you don't know where you're taking the person to. They say if the blind leads the blind, they all what? They fall into, is it a ditch or a drain? Something like that. But the blind cannot lead the blind. So if you are leading somebody, somebody who has eyes should rather be the person leading the blind. Are you with me? Are you with me this morning? Yeah. So the shepherd is intelligent and is aware of all the things that the sheep will go through if it was the sheep was left alone. Not only for the welfare of his sheep, but and also the health of his land. I don't know if you are following. So the shepherd takes the lead so that, number one, not just in the interest of the sheep, because of course the primary thing is that the sheep then now does not go its own way and get into some trouble and even die. But the second reason is also because of, we are dissecting Psalm 23 and verse 3. The second also reason why he will lead us is because of the land. The land that is at his disposal. Because if he allows the sheep to just go all over, I think last week I gave an example of when you normally go to a place where they have beautiful lawns and then they have a path that they have designed for you to follow on to enter into the building. If that path is longer, many people don't like to go on that path. They like to just cross through the lawns, the grass, and just do a shortcut. And then before you realize, when several people realize that is the shortcut, then you see that in a nice, beautiful grass, you see that there's a path across it that is brown. That is just the earth. So the owner of that lawn, the owner of the land, the owner of the church, Jesus, the church is for Jesus Christ. He said, "I'll build my church." God is also particular about the state of the church. That's why he will lead us, because if he doesn't lead you and he doesn't lead me, then the church becomes a place of confusion. As somebody was saying, you know what, that they don't like this church because they control people. I don't know what he means by that, but there's nowhere you go they don't control you. If you're home, you are controlled. If you go to school, you are controlled. If you go to work, you are controlled. Because you can't go to work anytime you want and leave work anytime you want. You can't be in the house and sleep all day, don't wash wares. There's nowhere you can live your life without a certain amount of control. So when you come to the church also, you cannot just walk in anytime you like. You cannot just go pick up your phone and listen to anything and just walk out and come in and chew this and drink Coca-Cola and all of that. You can also do those things in the church. And that's what many people like to do in our country here. When it's praise and worship, they are sitting down and they are clapping. How can you sit down and praise somebody? How can you sit down and worship somebody? You think worship worship is an act. Worship is something honorable and respectful. How can you sit down and worship God? You know what worship means? How can you sit down and say you are praising God? And then when you say, "Oh, let everybody stand up, let's sing." Then you say, "Why are they telling me to stand up?" When your teacher comes into the class that you went to, don't you stand up for the teacher to enter the class? You are past people. And they say, "Oh, I don't like that church because they control people." No. So, and that is how come many people don't do well in Christianity, because they don't, since they give their life to Christ, they do not completely submit to his lordship. Are you with me? So not only is God concerned about you, his child, you, his sheep, he's also concerned about the church and in the environment where you and I are also living our lives. Because if he allows Joshua to do whatever he wants, then Natifa also says, me too, I want to also do what I want. Then Ulysses also says, me too, I want to do what I want. Then there's chaos in the place. There's chaos in the place. You get it? And that's not what you want. That's not what you want to do. You don't want that to happen in the church of God, even in our various homes. Those who are mothers and those who are fathers and those who come from homes. You don't want your children to just be lawless and rude and all of that. You see how your mother will take a pot and shite at you? Yeah. How many of you had some pot shite at you before in the house? Yeah. Oh, and it will hit. You see, there's these points in your head. There's some corners around here. If it hits one of them, I tell you, you hear a sound. Pop! Bungie, yeah. You get bungie. You will not go and thief meat from the stew anymore. Hallelujah. Yeah. So he leads me in the path of righteousness because he's also concerned about the land that is available to every sheep. Otherwise, you do what you want at the detriment or the disadvantage of another person. That's what the Bible said. If you say you love God and you hate your brother, if you love God and you hate your brother, if you love God and you hate your brother, he says that you're a liar. And he says that if you are coming to the altar to offer your gift and you have anything, you have anything against, or somebody has anything against you, you should go and reconcile. So God is, he's more concerned also not just about you, but in the land, the place, the space and the place he has created for all of us to be in. He also wants the place to also be healthy. Everybody will enjoy the fellowship. And that's why in the kingdom of God or in heaven, there's no confusion. In heaven, there is no blackout. There's no GPL. There's no power outage. In heaven, the water supply is constant. You don't even know where the water is coming from. Just enjoy it. Hallelujah. Another thing that we see in this verse, that why God leads us, is that for his reputation also. He leads us, not just for our welfare, not just for the welfare of the land that he has, but also for his name's sake. Because he doesn't want anybody to sit down and tell him that, look at your land. You call yourself a farmer, you call yourself a shepherd. Look at your sheep, look at your land, look at your fence, look at you. You call yourself. So God does not want anybody, if there's anybody else, of course there's accuser of the brethren, to point fingers at him and say, you say you love Sherwin, look at how Sherwin's life is. And that's exactly how he came to God in Job chapter 1 and said, you know what? You always talk about Job in a very good light. It is because of the leading, the green pastures, the fence in your yard, and the things you have given to him, the things that you have exposed him to, that is what has made him look as if he loves you. He doesn't love you. You understand what I'm saying? And so then God comes in and says, what you are saying is not true. I know Job. I know my servant, and I know he loves me. Why did the devil come like that? Because he knows that God has a name. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think of. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so the devil knew that the reputation of this God is untainted, is untouched, is without spot or blemish. And therefore, what he comes to do is to come and try and let God know that it's because of all the provisions you have given to Job. That's why he seems like he loves you. It tells you how correct-minded, how God has his house in order, that you can't be in the house of God and go hungry. You can't be in the house of God and not have clothes to wear. You can't be in the house of the Lord and don't have money. All those who are worried in this season of the pandemic and all of that, if God is not your shepherd, that's why you are worried. If God was to be your shepherd, you will stand up boldly and declare that you shall not want. He will lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. My reputation may be important, but it's not more important than the reputation of God himself. Nobody dare say that he's not a good God. Nobody dare say that he is not a mighty God. He's mighty. There's nothing that God is not. And therefore, for that name, that reputation to be intact, he makes sure that he leads you in the paths of righteousness. So that instead of, I'm not going to church anymore. If I see all those people who go to church, the way their lives are. So my question and what I'm thinking about here is that I know some people who have been serving God and their lives have not become better. Maybe as I'm preaching, you should assess yourself and see whether you really have God as your shepherd or not. That is the key. Because if he's not your real shepherd, then all the things that you're going through, the job you can't get, what is a job? Please, can anybody answer this question? What is a job? That you can't find a job because what? You serve God. That you don't have food in your house because you serve God. This morning, you know, I slept very late. If I even slept, I think I slept around 5 a.m. or something. 5:30 when I was sleeping, it was day clean. And I was watching something. And all of a sudden, I heard a bird. Ah, 5:30 in the morning. I'm now trying to see if I can sleep. This bird from nowhere. I know it is what the hen, is it the cock, the male fowl that comes to do coo, 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 coo. We know that okay, it's morning, but this it's too personal. So I said, "Hey, get out of here." That was it. I didn't hear the sound of the bird again this morning. Yeah, I mean, I was a little surprised because I'm just there trying to watch something so that my eye will, you know, just get weakened. And then this all of them, hey, you don't know people want sleep? Hallelujah. You know, so God's reputation is intact. And nothing can tarnish his reputation as long as you stay under his covering. There is nothing that you will lack. There is nothing that you have need of. He will take care of you. Hallelujah. And so, the final thing I want to lead you into as we continue to dissect this verse and even finish it, is that you have to understand why Acts chapter 17 and verse 28 is even very important. Acts chapter 17 and verse 28. Acts chapter 17 and verse 28. The Bible says, for in him we live and move. So you have to understand that when Jesus is leading you, there is movement. You can't be in one place for a long time. You can't get used to something for a long time. You see, when you get used to something, it means that that thing is becoming a habit. It means that you are not moving on. And this is where God actually leaves many people behind, including many churches, including many ministries, including many pastors, many bishops, many reverend ministers, and all the type kind of people you have in the kingdom of God. Because he moves. If he's going to lead me, it means that as he's going, I'm going. As he stops, I stop. So it's not like you are going to be in a place for too long. So, for example, if you can't read your Bible and understand, and you are always there for another 1 year, there's something wrong about that. One of my church members was telling me, he said, Bishop, why do we have to do our quiet time? Why do we have to do our quiet time? That's a very, very genuine question. Why do this quiet time? What is quiet time? Give me some bacon saltfish. You say, quiet time. What is quiet time? Why? He said, Bishop, number one question, why do we have to do our quiet time? Number two, she says, I don't like quiet time because I don't understand it when I read my Bible, so I don't like quiet time. I said, I hear you. I will explain it to you very, very soon. That's it. You can't be at that state for a long time. You can't be somebody you don't like quiet time, and then for 1 year you still don't like quiet time. No, you are not moving with him. It means you are not following the path that he's leading you on. You are not following him anymore. He's not leading you anymore. You can't, in anything that you are doing for God, you have to move in it. You have to move in it. Yeah, in singing. If you are going to sing, you have to know how to sing songs. Isn't it, honey? You have to know how to sing songs. You sing this song. So many songs. All that we have to say, oh, sing this song for me, and that's it. Show in. If it's praise and worship, oh, sing this song. It's not that you're going to look for the lyrics on the screen. In him we move. We move. So if he's going to lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, it means that there's also movement. If you are stagnant, if you are not moving in the Lord, many people come to church and they are just normal church members for many, many years. I tell you, you are not being led. Because when I have been led and I'm still being led, that's why I am where I am. I started from the bottom. I started as a normal Christian, going to church, arranging chairs, sweeping the church, putting the chairs together, packing up, unpacking and all of that. That's how I started. That's how I started in the church. Look at where I am today. Hallelujah. It's the leading of the Lord. Amen. Yeah. So, next week, by the grace of God, we are going to look at some 7 attitude changes that we'll have to go through. 7 attitude changes. But the sad thing about what I'm also preaching about is that for most of the time, we don't want to be led. You don't like to be led. Nah. Mean like the, I ain't accustomed to the. It's how I stay. How many of you have heard those things before? I'm sure for your all your lifetime, you've heard people making these statements. These are people who are blatantly refusing to be led. And you hear that in the kingdom of God also. You hear that in the church also. Why the pastor got to know my business? Why he got to ask me to give 1,000? You don't want to be led in any. People blatant, and that's the sad thing about God's relationship with us. Many of us don't want to be led. You see, for example, when I look at our church, when I look at our church here in Isla Penitence, I mean, you can't take away the fact that God brought us here for a purpose, for the people here in Isla Penitence. I believe that many people in Isla Penitence were supposed to come to our church here. But, you see, because they refused to be led. Many came and they left. But those who came and stayed, some are pastors, some are reverend ministers now. I mean, growing in the Lord and doing well. My praise and worship leader is right from Isla Penitence. I tell you, yeah. Grab my camera woman or camera lady or camera female or camera feminine or whatever. She is from Isla Penitence as well. Yeah, camera woman. We have pastors who are from Isla Penitence. Gege and Dr. Douglas and all these people. Skin pastors. Calvin. Yeah. You know, Phoebe is from the scheme. Yeah. The schemers. Not schemers. But people refuse to be led. Some people, some of your family members, your cousins, your friends, your relatives, your brothers, your sisters, your siblings, many of them have come and they've left. Because they were not willing to be led as you were willing to be led. And that's a sad case. And that's a sad part of how our relationship with God. So if you're going to really enjoy the things of God and the blessings of God, you have to understand that you must be led. There must be movement. There are things you have to leave behind and take new habits that are good and that are expedient. There are certain things that you know that you have to leave them behind and go on to things that you don't know. Because somebody is leading you. Somebody who knows the better things for you is leading you. Somebody who cares more. You see, God cares for us more than we can care for ourselves. Look at the elections in our country. It's like a joke. It's like children playing in a playing ground. Since 2nd March, today is what? 20-something of April. This Sunday morning is what? 24th, 25th, 26th? 26th. Today is 26th of April. And we still don't have a president. We don't have cabinet ministers. What a pathetic state. Do you think this is what God wants? We don't want to be led. And it's very, very sad. But I believe that we are being led by God, the general, the commander-in-chief is leading us and to green pastures and to still waters. I believe that God has given us a bishop in the person of Bishop Dagwood Mills, who is also leading us in this ministry, leading us in this church, and taking us to places like God is leading him and God is encouraging him. Somebody give Jesus a big hand clap and stand to your feet. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Somebody just pray just for a few minutes. Thank the Lord for his care for us, his love for us, his directions, the movement. How can we not be grateful to God for moving us from one stage to the other? Some of us came to the church, you were not married, you were not even interested in marriage. But look at you, you are now married, you have a child, you have a family. I mean, God, such a blessing you have. Some of us came to the church as nothing. Look at you, now you are something in the church. It is God who has led us and has led you. Give God the praise and give him thanks. This morning, Cabres, Cabandere, Me Cabrondoros, Rica Tabayama, Caramandere, Me Cabrindis, Macataya, Babande, Rebenderia. If you look around you, there are much evidence, there's more evidence of the leading of God in your life. Give God the praise. Cabondere, Me Cabraraba. Somebody lift your voice and thank God. Le Cabrondoromo, Setebere, Me Cabranda, Macataya, Balendere, Me Cabrindi, Rakata Tabalabandoro, Ye Cabrinde, Me Carabasatabara. I am who I am because of your leading, oh God. Blessed be your name, O God. Awesome God, how great thou art. Oh, somebody worship the Lord with me. You are God, mighty are your miracles. I stand in awe of your holy name. Lord, we bow and worship you. Awesome God, awesome God, how great thou art. You are God, mighty are your miracles. I stand in awe of your holy name. Lord, we bow and worship you. Now, if you are listening to me, wherever you are, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to engage Jesus as your shepherd and as your Lord from this day forward, I want you to pray this prayer with me very quickly, very simple prayer. You're not saved, you're not born again. If you die right now, you're not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. I want to pray with you. If you want to pray that prayer with me, say with me right now, dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I confess that Jesus is my Lord. I confess Jesus died and he rose again. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. My heart is open. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe by this prayer, I am born again. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.